Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
As the government prepares to rest its case in the Boston Marathon bombing trial as soon as Monday, it's calling medical examiners to testify about the deaths of three victims near the finish line. Also, on day 14 of the trial yesterday, the prosecution placed full-scale replicas of the bombs in the hands of jurors. WBUR's David Boeri reports.
Edward Knapp is the kind of guy you want for a bomb technician. He never makes a sudden move. His voice never rises from a flat monotone. A former Navy SEAL, the FBI agent took the stand on day 14 of testimony as the prosecution comes full circle to rest its case where it began, with the bombings. "Pressure cookers, I seen those," said Knapp. He led the reconstruction of bombs from hundreds and thousands of bits and pieces after the explosion near the finish line that killed three and injured 260 people. "Did you reach a conclusion about what happened?" asked the prosecutor. "Yeah, there were two devices, the pressure cookers, two bombs that were carried in there and backpacks that went off. They had electrical fusing systems." The technicians figured out that 6-quart pressure cookers had been filled with 8 to 16 pounds of pyrotechnic powder, like that in fireworks. In a show-and-tell to attentive jurors, Knapp explained that you can't have a bomb without a detonator. And in these bombs, the detonator, planted into the explosive powder, was a small Christmas tree bulb from a string of lights. Prosecutors say the accused Islamic jihadists, defendant Jihar Tsarnaev and his brother Tamerlan, who died in a later shootout, triggered the bulb with the same controls hobbyists use to drive toy cars by remote control. Evidence at trial has shown that Tamerlan purchased a toy blue monster rally truck in February 2013. According to Agent Knapp, the Tsarnaevs rigged the toy's transmitter and receiver so they could transmit an electric signal to light the filament in the Christmas bulb and blow up the bombs. Dryly, the agent referred to added fragmentation. By that he meant the small nails and BBs glued inside the pressure cookers that made them anti-personnel devices designed to injure, maim, and kill. Both repulsed and attracted, the jurors handled the mock-up bombs. They measured their weight and examined the contents. The juror, who works as a restaurant manager, passed it to the dress designer, who passed it to the legal secretary, who passed it to the woman juror who wears Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd hoodies to court. These bombs may have been mock-ups, but after 14 days of testimony, the jurors knew the effects were not theoretical. Then came the first of three medical examiners, Dr. Jennifer Hammers, to present the jury with autopsy photos. The atmosphere turned grim. Clinically, Dr. Hammers delivered a long presentation of the many injuries, from deep 10-inch wounds to stippling and burns that killed Crystal Marie Campbell, a 29-year-old from nearby Arlington. The judge had warned the jurors the photos were vivid, but that did not stop the distress provoked by the appearance of Campbell's body on the jurors' screens. The restaurant manager wiped her eyes. The dress designer's face went taut, and she bit her lower lip. The legal secretary removed her glasses. Next came the exhibits in small bags stained red, identified by the witness as swabs, pieces of shrapnel, and multiple pellets removed from Campbell's body. The defense has attempted to establish that it's the older brother, Tamerlan, who was the lead agent in the bombings and the shootings and mayhem. It presents its defendant, Jihar, as a mere follower, and yesterday used cross-examination to make strong points that Tamerlan had purchased the remote-controlled cars, that explosive powders had only been found in Tamerlan's apartment and in Tamerlan's car, not in Jihar's dorm room at UMass Dartmouth, and that someone's fingerprints were found on bomb fragments other than Jihar's. But those points paled in comparison to the horror evident among the jurors at the end of the day, after seeing photos of people blown up by the actions of not just the dead brother, but the defendant as well, who has admitted in the words of his attorney, Judith Clark, it was him. How long did it take Crystal Campbell to die asked Prosecutor William Weinreb. Up to a minute, Dr. Hammers, the medical examiner, answered. The horror was complete for the day. On Monday, the prosecution plans to call two more medical examiners to testify about the two other deaths, and then rest its case, to be followed by testimony for the defense. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri, reporting from the federal courthouse.